verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And I'll be reading from the NIV. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His goodness and pleasing and perfect will. I want to share a message with you this morning, and the message is how to have the eyes of the Father. Now, all of us come from a different generation in here. We have many different generations here. If you look at us, the Gen Zs or iGen or Centennials were born from 1996 to today. So if you want to say something about them, you say Generation Z. Millennials or Generation Y was born from 1977 through 1995. And then Generation X, born 1965 through 1976. Baby Boomers, 1946 to 1964. And the Traditionalists, or sometimes called the Silent Generation, born 1945 and before. We are told, based on your birth date, this is who you are. And you will know them by the things they do because of the generation they come from. Which basically means the world has said your identity comes from the generation you were born in. Isn't that amazing? That your identity comes from the generation that you were born in. Religion, for many people, even Christianity, tends to allow us to maintain our identity that our generation gave us, has given us, and still be religious and give us peace with God. But I want to share something different with you today. I want to share with you where your true identity comes from. And I want to talk about Daniel, first of all. I shared last Sunday in a study on Daniel a bit about his going to a new land. Daniel, a servant of God, but not a prophet and not a priest or not a teacher or a theologian, not even a religionist. His identity, though, was in God. So when he was taken captive to Babylon, he never changed his identity to match the changing society that he was in Babylon. This was a dangerous move and cost him dearly, but he maintained his true identity. When Daniel was taken to live in the courts of Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible says, "But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine." You see, Daniel said, "I'm a Jew. If I'm a Jew, I'm going to live like a Jew. I'm going to be a Jew. I'm not a Babylonian. I don't live the lifestyle of the Babylonians. And I'm not going to have the appetites of the Babylonians." Later, Daniel's close friends who followed with Daniel defied King Nebuchadnezzar, who told them to bow down to a 90-foot statue that he had erected. Now, I don't know if you've seen a 90-foot statue. I've seen a 120-foot statue in Kiev, and it's amazing. Of course, how many feet is the Statue of Liberty? It's huge. It's 280 or something feet. It's quite huge, but this was an enormous statue. They told all the people to bow down, including the servants. Well, as you remember, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, "No, we're not going to do that." So the king brought them before him, and he said, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? And when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe and all kinds of music. If you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue from you from my hand? It's in Daniel 3:18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego responded, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods and worship the image of gold you have set up. No, we will not do the things this government has led us to do. And they did not. They were thrown in the fiery furnace, yet God delivered them. Again, you would think it would be over. But the culture changed. There was a new generation. It was called the Persians. You see, the Persians came in and took over Babylon. And Cyrus was the new ruler. And Cyrus was the same type of jealous man who wanted people to worship him. But all the servants that were there for Babylon now became his servants. Daniel did not change his identity to match his new generation, his new culture. Daniel was the same person. And because Daniel did, but he was very faithful, and he honored God by serving in the court of Cyrus. Cyrus loved him to death. He thought he was the greatest thing he'd ever seen. Well, everybody got sort of jealous of Daniel, and so they decided to take Daniel out because they knew Daniel was faithful to prayer. So they devised a scheme. King Cyrus, for the next 30 days, everybody has to bow down to you, and they cannot bow down to any other god. If they do, they would be thrown into the fiery furnace. Cyrus said, sounds like a good plan, so he signed the petition, the edict. What happened? There were some, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, there was Daniel, who would not bow down. They found Daniel. They saw him bowing down in the mornings in his window, and they reported it to King Cyrus. Cyrus had to hold to his edict, so he had Daniel thrown into the lion's den, which was the way that they handled it, the Persians handled it. The next morning, King Cyrus ran to check on Daniel, and when he found Daniel, Daniel was in one piece. Daniel was alive, and Daniel answered the king cried out to him, if your God is real, Daniel, I pray that he has delivered you. And Daniel responded from the pit of the lions. May the king live forever. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I done any wrong before you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. We live in a society today that says you must adhere to our new changes. You must become like us. Sometimes they do it in subtle ways. Other times they're very blunt. I remember one of our politicians in a recent election, Hillary Clinton, who said openly, the church is going to have to change its opinions to match its society. And I'm sitting there going, wait a minute. Do you not understand? We're governed by God, not by society. I am here to tell you that quite frankly, I cannot change my identity to match this culture. We dare not change our identity as a church to match our culture. But if we try to match the culture, we will appeal to a great number. If we don't, only those who come and receive Jesus and accept Jesus and truly know Jesus will come to that group of people who their identity is in Christ. And I want you to understand that. First of all, you notice what we've changed the service a little bit. And the idea was to make this a little bit more worshipful, to put our worshipful part first as a church. And then towards the end, we're going to have announcements. We're going to have our time of commitment. We will have our business conference. But as we come in, I want us to focus on the Lord. I want us to focus on worship. I want us to focus on following God. Now, the world says to you and says to me, this is the way you should honor God. But I go by what God said is the way I should honor God. It's in His Word. We follow what He says and the way He says. And that will not be popular, I understand, but this is what we should do. Now, I gave you last Sunday 12 things to do. But before I do, I want to read this scripture to you. Romans chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. A person is not a Jew who is one only outwardly, Paul says, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart, by the Spirit, not by a written code. Such a person prays is not from other people, but from God. There should be changes in our life. We should be constantly changing as Christians, but not according to our society, not according to the leadership of the generations that are around us, nor the cultures that are around us. We should be led by the living God, and we should be led by the circumcision of the heart, led by the Holy Spirit. I want you to know there are 12 things that I gave you, and those 12 things are: learn to pray, learn to listen to God, read portions of Scripture daily, memorize Scripture, let God lead your worship, be obedient, chronicle your journey, grow in your stewardship, learn to be a witness to everyone, attend discipleship opportunities, fast and pray, mentor someone, and be mentored. Notice the first five. And I just want to just focus a little bit on the first five. Learn to listen to God and pray. Learn to read and discern the Word and to worship. These lead us to a new identity. Now, this identity is in Christ, and it also solidifies our identity. Probably the biggest thing that I think is a struggle with Christianity is the fact that Christians don't identify with God anymore. They don't identify as a Christian. They identify with work. They identify with family. They identify with a particular mantra of the day. But they do not identify with God. This comes by the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Transformational living proceeds out of transformational thinking. And transformational thinking proceeds out of a surrender to a transformational God. I am nearly 70 years of age. Be there shortly. Actually, within a year and a half. And I want you to know, I used to hide it. I don't hide it anymore. I'm sort of glad I got this far. But I want you to understand something, And I want you to know that I believe every one of us, no matter what age we are constantly being transformed. God wants us to be transformed. We will not be like him until we're caught up in the sky. And it says, when we are caught up in the sky, we shall be like him. Up until that point, we will not be like him. There's nobody, I don't care who it is in the world, that will ever be like him. I remember a group of ministers sitting in a city in Chicago, I believe, and they were planning a great crusade back in the early 1900s, planning a crusade to reach all the people of Chicago they were talking about. And several people said, I would like for D.L. Moody to come preach. I would like for D.L. And finally, one of the young ministers stood up and said, I want to ask a question. Why do we keep saying D.L. Moody? There's plenty of preachers out there. What does D.L. Moody have complete sovereignty over the Holy Spirit or something? And a senior pastor stood up and said, no, D.L. Moody does not have sovereignty over the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit has sovereignty over D.L. Moody. And I want you to understand to this morning that God is in the process of making every one of us have a new identity. Every day a new identity. Every day a new identity. Why? Because we are more and more seeking to be like him. And this is God's purpose. And through the power of the Holy Spirit only can he do this. But he has to have an instrument to do it. We can't just sit at the house and watch television all day and be transformed by the Holy Spirit. Doesn't work. It works by being in the Word, reading the Word, studying the Word of God to find out what God is saying. It comes through prayer, spending time listening to God. How many of you have perfected listening to God? Good. I'm glad you're honest. I haven't either. I'm still learning how to listen to God. This is a great skill we need to develop. And the Holy Spirit can speak and move in our hearts as we listen for God. And then we need to memorize Scripture. I believe it is very important to have the Scripture before you. My kids, I have teach 3 grades Bible, 6th, 7th, and 8th. I also teach a high school Bible, but I've finished. And the 3, every Friday, have a scripture memory verse. And guess what I do? I make it a test grade. They love that because all they have to do is memorize scripture and they're going to get an A. Let me tell you my point. I would like for you to get your A's because you memorize scripture than that you memorize some date. And so, in my classes, scripture memory is what we emphasize. I feel like it's extremely important. I remember as a child, I was a part of RAs. Do any of you ever hear about RAs, Royal Ambassadors? They were in the church. Well, we used to have those. And the boys had to do certain things, a lot like the Boy Scouts. You earn badges and all that type of stuff. Scripture memory was huge. And I memorized scripture. When we'd go on trips, I'd spend my trips trying to memorize scripture because we didn't have iPads then or cell phones. I memorized scripture on our trips. And I believe that God used that to develop me and to lead me into a walk, a closer walk with him. But I want you to know something. It comes from the Holy Spirit. And as we lend the Holy Spirit the ability to work in us, then the Holy Spirit can change us. If we're so busy, we can't allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, then we're not transforming into the nature of God. We're being transformed by the generations around us. It's subtle, but it's there. And the reason I know that is because I teach 6th, 7th, and 8th grade Bible. And I will ask them questions. And it comes straight off of television, their answers. Or straight out of video games, their answers. I don't think it comes from their parents. I'm sure it doesn't. If their parents knew how they were answering, they'd probably freak. But subtly, we are being transformed either by God through the power of the Holy Spirit or by the world. Amos chapter 4, verse 13 says this: He who forms the mountains, who creates the wind, and who reveals his thoughts to mankind, who turns dawn to darkness and treads on the heights of the earth, the Lord God Almighty is his name. It says, he reveals his thoughts to mankind. Did you know that God had an intent to give you his thoughts so that they become your thoughts? 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things of God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God brings us the thoughts of God. And when and where God was able to touch Daniel, it was through the Holy Spirit. Even in a far-off place, even under different kings, even in a terrible situation, even in a slavery setting, God was able to change Daniel and use Daniel. Where was Daniel transformed? As a slave in the courts of another king. Where was Daniel transformed? He and his people in a fiery furnace. Where was Daniel transformed? In a pit with lions. I'm not saying following God is easy. I'm not saying reaching for the thoughts of God is easy, but amazingly rewarding. It doesn't come easy, but there is a safe place that delivers you from your enemies. It quenches the fiery furnaces and makes a pit of predators into a sanctuary for saints. I want to close with this thought. I had a woman, and some of you know her, and she came to me and she told me this story. She said, yesterday, I went to the grocery store, and I got a few things, and I was in the grocery cart, and I pulled up, and there were two women in front of me, and I could tell that they were struggling in the way they dressed and what they had in their cart. They had two grocery carts of food, and one was larger than the other, but they didn't have any name brand. These were all store brand things, so I knew that they were trying to save money, and they had one or two coupons, and they were really struggling because they pulled out their wallet and they started counting out their money and even started counting out change. And she said, I immediately took my card and stuck it in the card reader. And the lady looked at me and she said, let it go. I'm paying for theirs. Well, the lady let it go and she paid for it and she took her card out. The other two ladies stood there and looked at her and went, what are you doing? She said, don't worry about it. And they got their groceries and left, and then this woman paid for hers. And as she started out, the ladies were waiting in the parking lot for her, and they came and hugged her neck and said, you don't know what you just did. you did an amazing thing because we didn't even know how we were going to feed our families this week. And she said, God has blessed me so much. He has blessed me, and I just wanted to share with you God's blessings that He's given me. I don't know if you know this, but God loves you, and He wants to take care of you. And as my mother used to say, thank God and go to church on Sunday. And she said, and they just sat there crying, and they got back in their car, and she says, I have not been the same. This has been the greatest time in my life. And I was struggling with some issues at work, and I was struggling with some issues at home, but that one event has transformed me. I feel like God used me because it did not even go through my mind. I did not analyze whether it was right or wrong. I did not analyze what was going on. I just did it. And I believe that's the way God uses us. He causes us to have His thoughts and to do the things He's called us to do. This is what, to me, is Christianity. Gaining the thoughts of God, letting the Holy Spirit transform our thinking so we don't think like this generation. We think like God thinks because He gives us His thoughts. I want to ask you something this morning as we come to a time of commitment. I want to ask you, have you ever